You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to this week's FX PhDOD. John Montgomery with you, as is Mike. How's it going, my friend?
Good. I'm without an Oscar, but, you know, that's what happens when you don't actually get nominated. Award season seemed to go for a long time this year. Is that just me, or is that you?
I'm with you on that one. I think it starts early and earlier with the chain of awards shows that are out there, beginning well at the end of the year. And of course, as we've been involved in creating several projects for that as well, it certainly seems to take a long time.
It takes forever.
it's maybe the awards season has become, or may become, something where the baseball season or sports seasons just get extended and extended, extended as a way of generating buzz and money. Who knows? But I'm glad it's over.
Yes, but congrats to the Gravity team. Did spectacularly well, not just obviously in VFX, which we hoped and thought it would win, for, you know, great work, but also it went very well in a number of other categories, indicating that the film had, you know, great collaborative teamwork that was acknowledged by the Academy, which is good.
And yes, I really appreciate it, and I'll be honest, I would have been disappointed had it won Best Picture, simply because I think the scripts were stronger on those other movies that were nominated. But
have you seen 12 Years of Slave?
Yeah.
Is it? I mean, I've been, honestly, I'm telling you, I respect the material and have been scared to watch it because I figured it upset me too much. I'm a bit of a coward when it comes to emotionally demanding movies.
Yeah, I'll phrase that. I've watched close to half of it on a screener.
Okay.
But no, I think you would enjoy it.
You got a screener.
You would enjoy access to one.
Right.
Let me put that.
I watched, I think we talked about Wolf of Wall Street, did we? Like this sex fest. Appalled by that. But, you know, it was kind of like watching a train wreck. It was like, oh, my God.
I think it wasn't that the point.
It was just, really? These people are involved in looking after other people's money? Good God. I did see Dallas Buyers Club, just speaking of other Oscar nominees. Mm-hmm. That's a great, traumatic film, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Spectacularly good performances that are just, you know, heart-wrenching. And I thought, well, if I, you know, it's like my barometer, like, if I could get through that, maybe I could get through 12 Years a Slave. Not that I'm not respectful of the material. It's just like, good God, it just seems so horrendous from the trailer.
Yeah, but very true. But I totally agree. I think that Gravity won where it was deserved, I think, deserved it. That kind of groundbreaking type of movie, and certainly was. I just remember being blown away watching it and saying through it, kind of going to myself, I really don't believe I'm watching this. Good to see it get it the respect that it deserves, and in the appropriate categories, at least from my feeling.
And speaking of end of eras, we regret to inform you the upcoming 2015 release will be the last one for Autodesk Soft Image. Do we have cue last trumpeter?
Yeah, I mean, what's that phrase? Like, it's so shocking that they announced that, but you know, it happened so suddenly. I think the writing has been on the wall that one of these applications was not going to make it to the end of time at Autodesk. I mean, just frankly, I understand it. The idea of having three separate applications being developed at the same time, from a business standpoint, probably not the wisest thing in the world, but it's such a shame to see some of the cool things that are part of Soft Image, like ICE and so forth. I mean, it has such a strong user base. People who use it love using it. And it's, I think it's sad.
Yeah, I think it's sad. It is, you know, obviously complicated in our current economic environment to have the three products, though, you know, you might argue why'd they buy the third one if they didn't want to do anything with it. But the converse argument, if you weren't being cynical, is that a bunch of soft technology, not just patents, but actual technology, has gone into things like Bifrost and other things. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, engineering skill, engineering ideas and stuff have moved into other parts of the Autodesk pipeline. Nevertheless, I'm sure if you're an ICE XSI user, you'd be disappointed, to say the least, but probably not overly surprised.
No, and they're going to get it up to date now with this version. Obviously, they'll provide a cross-grade solution for current customers as well. And there's nothing stopping people, obviously, from continuing to use Softimage into the future, you know.
Well, you say that, right? But, I mean, you know, the next Olympic or whatever comes along and it won't be supported because it's not being added. So, I mean, I totally agree with you. Nothing stopping you from... meaning you have to stop using it today. But I always find when people say that, that it sounds better than it is in reality.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's true. Yeah, I understood that in mind. But, you know, hopefully they'll get, I mean, it's, again, not especially surprising, but sad that this moment came for Softimage, I think.
Yeah. Bit of a shakeout going on, I think, around the industry. I mean, I think there's just a lot of upheaval, and the equipment manufacturers aren't immune to that. Obviously, if companies are closing and doing stuff, and we saw the company Gravity close during the week out of New York, which used to be Rhino, which we were sad to see. If companies are closing, then they're not buying licenses.
Right.
So, you know, stating the bleeding obvious.
Yeah.
Tough
market, that's for sure. And speaking of, as well, some issues that Jeff and I touched on the Oscars. Jeff and I attended the subsidies march or anti-subsidies march, VFX march in Los Angeles before the Oscars. It's good to see a larger turnout this year. And I think, Mike, as we talked about in the podcast as well, a kind of more targeted focus on kind of what the target of the protest was this year. Maybe a little bit less just overall anger and a little more focus in this year's event.
So you were down there on the lines doing your best Norma Rae, holding up your union sign on a piece of cardboard as they were carrying you out the door?
Yeah, or how about taking photographs? Let's just say. But no, it's an interesting, you know, it's hard to really talk about the vibe because it was kind of a positive vibe, you know, was people were, you know, I guess in good spirits and again, being really focused in the message of what was happening in the world out there related to visual effects and subsidies. So, I saw a lot of FX PhD members, FX PhD profs, things like that, lending their hand to the cause. And yeah, I mean, as we told everyone, we said, well, we hope we don't see you next year at this time, you know?
Yeah, it's ironic, isn't it? Because in one respect, it's a good vibe because it's the community coming together for a purpose, and then it's a downer because of what the purpose is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So... anyway, it was again, it was good to see lots of people come out in the rain, which was surprising, especially in Los Angeles. But it is kind of interesting going through it. It's like we're just walking along, and because not for journalistic reasons, I'm not one to not take part because of our journalistic integrity or whatever. And there's no hiding, of course, where our backgrounds are. But just talking to some of the people in the shops and wondering, having no clue what the protest is about and wondering what's going on and not understanding it. But frankly, they're not the target of the protest. The ones actually there at the on the street, the shop owners and even the tourists. It's a wider, larger audience than that.
Hmm. It is obviously a very serious topic, and I think we covered it in a serious fashion on FX Guide. So I'm a bit nervous to say this next remark because it's going to sound like I'm being flippant, but is kind of fun crossing to you on the front lines doing like the podcast and stuff as it's happening, because we don't tend to do breaking news stories that often. We do it over some stuff, but it was an interesting morning for me, afternoon for you, when that was all going on, because, you know, you were there and I was trying to put stuff up on the site here in Sydney, and I was struggling with a bug in the software, and it was like, and photos are coming through and texts are coming through, and weird stuff's coming through that wasn't meant for me, that was meant for somebody else. And then
exactly.
I'd be sending things to, it was like, I just didn't have enough hands. And at one point, somebody called me up and they're like, yeah, so I was like, I don't have time to talk about this. Call you back. mad flurry, because there is a sense that you want to get the story out while it was happening, and I think that's, you know, for the right reasons, but it did mean that, we were kind of posting and updating and posting and updating all throughout the actual thing. And in fact, when you guys got there, it was like, what, half or a third of the size of what it ended up being by the time you left. Like, it really swelled as you were there.
Yeah, well, I think we talked to you, it was probably around a little shortly after 1 o'clock our time in LA, and we were just kind of walking around, chatting to people, and really swelled between 1 and 2 during that time. You know, maybe the rain helped doing that, but in the early times, it was just basically a bunch of people standing around waiting for it to start.
Yeah.
There's not much going on. It was good. The police, kind of traveled a little bit of a further distance. The streets where we were was kind of along a fence because Hollywood was all blocked off and cordoned off by the police. Basically, we were marching along kind of the entrance way where people showed up in their cars to actually attend the Oscars, kind of driving through a little police chicane, you know, to keep people from driving straight through with a big truck.
So if I was turning up to accept Best Oscar for a podcast in a built-up area, would I have passed you?
I think so. I'm actually not certain if there was some other entryway to the event that we didn't know about, but this seemed like a sensible main entrance. We saw a large variety of cars from, you know, kind of tinted sedans and limousines to, frankly, some people dressed in tuxes and beaters. You know, coming up, it was actually kind of amusing to see in beaters, like broken, you know, cars that looked like they were barely running. It was actually pretty interesting, like the high number of Priuses out here in Los Angeles in the film community, I guess, and or in the Academy, I guess. I think it was one of, if not the main entrances, and just basically probably 5 blocks cordoned off with a fence, and again, no auto traffic allowed, with barricades all around. So. They were being very particular about not getting cars through. I saw some cabs got basically attacked by the cops almost for some reason, trying to break through the line for some reason. So, many people who were arriving were driving right by the protest. That's certainly true, Mike.
I mean, I don't imagine the police saw you as a threat. I mean, it wasn't as if the mood of the crowd was
no,
hostile.
They were great.
And there was also, and we made this point in the podcast, you weren't protesting against the people that were getting the Oscar. It wasn't as if you were saying these people didn't deserve the Oscar. You were just using this opportunity of focus on the industry to highlight the problems in our industry or our part of the industry. It's quite a different thing than sort of saying, you know, down with the proletariat, up with the whatever kind of, you know, storm the barricades
right.
kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. And I think that was really important this year, as you know.
You weren't throwing paint bombs at limos.
I wasn't there last year, so I can't really comment on the vibe, but it just seemed like a different, from what Jeff said and we talked about in the podcast, it seemed to be a bit of a different vibe this year.
Right.
Than that. And it's certainly a very good point that wasn't targeted towards anyone specifically there. And I think even Jeff brought up the point of it's, you know, businesses are going to do what they need to do to save money. And follow the subsidies, right?
We don't think in any realistic sense that a company is going to not take free money on the grounds that it's
a lot of free money too, right? We're not talking, you know, little minor cash amounts. It's a large amount.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, $10 if you wouldn't mind just doing this. This is like tens of millions of bucks if you wouldn't mind doing this. That being said, there's an environment that all happens in that is quite complex. The real question, I think, the difference in the question that was asked between last year and this year is that last year when you asked the question, what do you want? There was no kind of sort of obvious answer. It was a kind of fractured response of, well, something, because this sucks. I think would be my way of characterizing it. And this time the answer was, what do you want? Well, we'd really like a level playing field, and we'd like to stop subsidies from warping that level playing field, which really was a huge difference.
Yes, it was. And you know, in case anyone listening outside the States thinks this is a U.S. international thing, no, we have this problem between cities in the United States. And I think I mentioned in the podcast with Jeff, we used to be pissed about L.A. stealing our work from Chicago because of subsidies.
Yeah.
So, we, you know, within our country, we don't have that act together. And it's happened not just in visual effects, but actually in many, many industries this happens. So,
yep.
Anyway, important to point that out with our large international audience.
Yeah,
be really clear about that. So anyway, that was a big weekend, and I think yes, time to relax a bit after the end of award season as we start out talking.
So what's next?
Well, I was going to say not really relaxing because we're well underway with getting courses together for the April term at FX PhD. And that's well underway. And I kind of want to talk, one thing that we're doing and starting to do more is we're starting to get a head start more and more on our class materials. We've been bitten kind of in the past through changes in schedules and stuff leading to delays in some of our courses, some minor, some major, admittedly. And so we're trying to be proactive in kind of heading that off and helping the profs get stuff done ahead of time, getting several of the classes done ahead of time so that if they hit a bump in the road during the term where they get sucked into a job, they have a couple courses already in the bank, while at the same time maintaining that flexibility that we have. And one of the great things about FXPhD, which is being able to respond and, you know, adjust the course midship, you know, mid-trip, adjust the both the presentation and the content of the course if we need to over the duration of the term. So we're trying to strike a balance to that, but I think it's important to point out that, you know, we're well underway much earlier than we have been in the past and planning for the new term in order to kind of help some of those hitches that we've run into in the past at FXPhD.
Yes, and not only that, but we have some new stuff at PhD outside the internal term-based courses. So from time to time, we release fast-forward courses, and the purpose of the fast-forward courses are, as the name would imply, to get you up to speed pretty quickly. It's not a term-based thing. You can download all 10 classes at once, and that works really well for some people. And for some things, we like to have these outside because maybe if you're a professional wanting to just have like one course, because this is the one thing you want to learn about, then obviously that would be difficult if it was only inside PhD. With that in mind, we've done that with DaVinci in the past, and we've just released a Introduction to Color Theory course. Now, this is a course that is designed unlike the color theory course inside FX PhD, which is a 300-level course and handles quite complex stuff at a senior level, with Charles available in the forums to answer the questions, this is much more the sort of simplistic get-up-to-speed thing that you might want if, say, you're a mid-level compositor and you just kind of want to know what's going on, but you won't have to build your own pipeline per se. So that's available from FX PhD from our store, as all of the fast forwards are. It's immediate download, as I say, of 10 classes, $199. Charles is the guy who's presenting those, but it's not, you know, as is the case with fast forwards, it's not that you get him in the forums. Inside PhD, you get to ask him questions. And in fact, we've been doing video tutorials and all sorts of other things with Charles inside PhD. But for some people, this is a great opportunity to be able to just get up to speed and add to your kind of knowledge bank if you want to kind of whiz through some stuff because, you know, you suddenly find yourself in a position where you expect to be able to hold your own in some conversations maybe, and you feel like I'd really like to cover off on that space. And the fast forwards have proven popular, haven't they, John?
Yeah, they really have. It's a nice addition to those of you who aren't full-term members. Actually, a lot of our members actually end up signing up for fast-forward courses as well. And as Mike pointed out, this is really different from the standard offering without the forums and so forth. You get it immediately, get download immediately, ready to go. And if you're interested, there's actually quite a few things if you haven't checked it out recently. Going through a bit of a redesign on the store soon. If you go to fxphd.com/store, you'll see that we have some standard FX PhD memberships. But in addition to that, we have some other fast forward offerings. For instance, Warren Eagle's excellent Resolve version 10 fundamentals. We have Nuendo 6 fundamentals, as well as the VFX Foundations course, part one, as well, that we've had internally at FX PhD in the past, but now have that for sale externally in the store. And in addition to that, Warren actually has some stock footage scratch effects as well. So check that out if you haven't recently, fxphd.com/store.
It should be pointed out that the fast forward do vary in price. So, as I say, Warren's one and the Charles one, for example, $199. But, for example, the Foundations course is only $99. So they aren't standard pricing. They vary around a bit. That's completely arbitrary and up to us, and we make those decisions after lengthy discussions, but I'm not going to justify it other than to say that that they are a bit different. And there's also, as you say, those scratch effects packages and burn-ins and fogs and stuff that are all very fashionable at the moment, available there as well in the store. It's also where you can get gift certificates, you know, which is obviously very popular around Christmas time, but it could be a good birthday present as well.
I would special get a someone, present. Valentine's Day? Special I guess someone. We missed Valentine's Day, haven't we?
We have missed Valentine's Day. It would be a really good present for... Hey, coming, I was about to say, for April 1st, but that would be a dumb thing to say. April 1st is coming up, and you posted something already, I think, about bacon-smelling alarm clocks.
Yes, an iPhone early. Adapter on your... I don't think it is an April Fool's joke. Mike's referring to... I posted on Facebook a thing about... I just made me chuckle. It's an add-on that you plug into the bottom of your iPhone, and that when the alarm goes off, it will apparently spurt out a mist of bacon smell.
It just sounds ghastly.
It does sound ghastly. I'm a big fan of bacon, as you know. But that one, I'm just... I don't know if it's a joke or not. It is so amusingly ludicrous and funny, and yet... a bit enticing at the same time. I don't know. Anyway, just a bit of fun technology, I guess you could say. So anyway, hey man, my friend, I am actually swamped. I think I need to cut this DOD a bit short this week. I apologize to you and the listeners, but I am overwhelmed with work, rolling out the term as well as other stuff under the hood. So.
Well, I'm going to go play with my new lens that you just FedExed me.
And I'm actually going to also play with the Fusion I/O board that you just sent me
FedExed
as well.
FedExed you back.
FedExed me back. So we had shipping things between us and still getting my ZA20 set up. I've got a Quadro 6000 card hooked up. Actually, did I mention the fact that I tried to install my second CPU? We've been talking about a little bit of me, John Montgomery, a Mac guy, trying to... pimp my Z820, and I bought a second CPU, so already installed, and I realized that I need to buy a second fan for it as well. So I got that fan today, so now I'm itching to get the second CPU installed and get my system up and running.
That is just so DIY.
I know, it's really not. I'm really out. I gotta admit, I'm out, a bit out of my league. You know, there's this thermal it's not thermal glue. There's this thermal grease that you put inside the CPU socket and the heat sink. And this heat sink is like massive, big, thin cooling thing. But there's also a fan that you're supposed to install on top of that. And luckily, I actually read the instructions because I came so close to installing it without the second fan, which probably would have meant
meltdown.
So anyway, I'm itching to get back to that as well. That's one of the things that's on my plate.
I see also technologically inferior with just my normal computer that's unmodded.
You know what? This is where, and I made this point, that there is a certain thing. While I am, you know me, I am a little bit interested in this and a little bit interested in tech and enjoy tinkering. But at the same time, I mean, could I have just bought a system? Should I have just bought something that this is already done with for me? I'm leaning towards the side of the fence that I should just bought a system where it was all set up for me, because there's a cost to spending the time doing all this tech stuff, right? And I'm like, for the couple $100 I saved doing this myself, as opposed to buying a pre-built system, I'm like, not so sure it wasn't worth that extra couple $100 at this point. But
well, can I say, especially as it isn't currently working.
Right, yes. So,
it's really cruel to say that. But no, like, I know. Every time I talk to John, I go, how's it going? Well, I'm very busy, but I can't actually get this thing to work because this driver clashes with this thing over here. And I'm like,
yeah. But it really does speak to that idea of build your own system versus the premium that is spent on buying something that is pre-installed and configured for you. I mean, this is exactly what you talk about in the discussion. So that's why, in a way, I'm glad I'm doing this to actually see what I'm saving in time by spending more money, right?
It's so, almost you need to be reminded because you just forget. You go, it can't be that hard, can it? It's like childbirth. You know, like my wife, it wasn't that bad, was it? What are you, frigging kidding me?
So, yes, and our soap opera saga that's been discussing, and it's not soap opera, but this discussion that we've had over several FXPhD ODs, discussion in the forums from people like Neo and others lending a hand. I now can firmly say I am never, ever going to build my own PC. I mean, where I've got at this point...
It is a bit like, what's the telltale sign that things aren't going exactly to plan? The fact that week after week on the DoD, we bring up this subject.
Right, right.
And I don't want to sound like a smartass because I'm think what you're doing is you're doing the right thing and I really appreciate you doing it. But I'm like, it is literally a case of, thank God, there but for the grace of God go I.
Yeah.
Because I'd be just hitting my head against the floor.
Yeah, if ever there is a story line or allegory that is proving the course title, The Reluctant Sysadmin.
I'd be lying on the floor in the fetal position. Please, God, take me now.
This is that. So, yes, again, I'm learning a lot. I'm glad I did it, but I think it's just proving the point. It's like, okay, I've learned. Now I know what to do in the future. Not for me. Yeah.
Don't need to learn that lesson again.
Right, exactly. So right. I shall get back to that, my friend and dear listener.
No, absolutely. Yes.
Anyway.
And if anyone wants to send condolence cards, just send them to me. All right, I'll let you go.
Thanks, man. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.